Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 5. In this chapter, Jeremiah gives the reasons as to why God had to punish his people, Judah. This chapter certainly has application concerning God's discipline of his people today. Let's begin by reading the first 6 verses. Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man. If there is anyone who executes judgment or justice, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish. For they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Therefore a lion from the forest shall slay them, a wolf of the desert shall destroy them, a leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn to pieces, because their transgressions are many, their backslidings have increased. Let's begin our study of this chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 5, with some background notes. Have you ever been on a scavenger hunt? Here in the first part of Jeremiah chapter 5, God sent Jeremiah on a scavenger hunt, as it were, to find just one righteous man in Jerusalem. Just one man who practiced justice and was a seeker of God's truth. The Lord said that if Jeremiah could find just one who practiced justice and sought the truth, then God would not punish Jerusalem for her sins of rebellion and refusal to repent. Guess what? Jeremiah could not find a single person among the people. Jeremiah's scavenger hunt for one righteous man resulted in failure. Therefore, the Lord will allow wild beasts to come in and destroy some of the people. Verse 6. These wild beasts were not only symbolic of a coming Babylonian invasion, but were quite literal as well. And we know from 2 Kings chapter 17 that when the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians, God allowed lions to come in and kill some of the people. And even the foreigners recognized that this was judgment from the God of Israel. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 5. Doctrine point number 1. God must punish his people's failure to practice justice and failure to speak the truth. God must punish his people's failure to practice justice and failure to speak the truth. Verse 7 through 19. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he, neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine, and the prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Behold, I will bring a nation against you from afar, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities in which you trust with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. And it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do these things to us? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. We saw in verses 1 through 6 that Jeremiah could not find a single person in Jerusalem that practiced justice and sought the truth. They were more interested in fulfilling their lusts. No wonder God said in verses 7 through 9, how shall I pardon you for this? They were like well-fed, lusty stallions. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? We see in verses 11 through 13 that not only did Judah fail to seek the truth, but they actually lied about the Lord. They would not believe the Lord's warnings about the coming judgment, but rather listen to the words of the false prophets who said that there was no need to worry about sword or famine. God said through his true prophet, Jeremiah, that these false prophets were nothing but hot air, and the truth was not in them. Verse 13, and the prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. Because of the failure of God's people to practice justice, and because of their failure to believe the truth of God's word, God would have to punish his people by bringing a foreign nation upon them to conquer them. Verses 14 through 17. This, of course, was the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army. Why did God allow this to happen to his people? Verse 19 gives the answer. And it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. When Israel turned away from the Lord to the foreign gods, they no longer practiced justice, and they no longer desired God's truth. For these sins, God must punish his people, then and today. Why is our nation, which was founded on biblical principles, no longer blessed by God in the way she was blessed in the past? The answer should be obvious. Political agendas are more important than justice. Political correctness is more important than truth. And the church is not immune to these sins. God must punish his people's failure to practice justice and failure to speak the truth. Doctrinal point number 2. God must punish his people's determination to practice wickedness and determination to love what is false. God must punish his people's determination to practice wickedness and determination to love what is false. Verses 20 through 31. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? You have placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it. And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? In these verses, we see that Israel not only failed to do what was right, they were determined to do what was wrong. They had eyes, but they would not see. They had ears, but they would not hear. Verse 21. God was in sovereign control of the mighty and awesome seas, as well as the necessary rains on the land. Verses 22 and 24. But Judah was determined not to give God the credit and determined not to submit to God's care and control. Verse 23. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. And verse 25. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. The people were experts at wickedness, even practicing evil and deceit with one another and taking advantage of the poor and needy. Verses 26 through 28. Again, the Lord asks the rhetorical question in verse 29. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? In verses 30 and 31, we see that conditions were so bad that the people not only practiced falsehood, they loved what was false. Verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. God saw this as appalling and astonishing and shocking and horrible. Verse 30. The false prophets lied and prophesied what the people wanted to hear, and the people loved it. The priests conducted worship, but not in line with the word of God. The worship services consisted of what the people wanted, not what God wanted. Does this sound familiar? Not only do many churches today tolerate undisciplined sin, but many services are designed more to entertain the people than to teach and preach God's word to the people. And doctrines like hell and the judgment of God are either watered down or not preached at all. And the people love it that way. God must punish his people's determination to practice wickedness and determination to love what is false. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 5. Praise God for his remnant policy. Praise God for his remnant policy. The beginning of verse 10. Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. And verse 18. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. Even though God had to discipline Judah for her sins, he would not destroy her completely. God in his grace and mercy has a remnant policy. And we know from the prophetic scriptures that there's coming a day when there will be a spiritual restoration of the Jewish people. Restored Israel will praise the Lord forever for his remnant policy. God's remnant policy should be an encouragement to any believer or church today that feels they have failed the Lord and are under the discipline of God. God has not written you off. He still has good plans for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Praise God for his remnant policy.